For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Episode of This Legal Light of Mine, and I am so happy and excited to meet with you once again to kind of just talk about whatever's going on in our world, in my life, probably in your lives too. And right now, the thing that is on the forefront of my mind is what is going on in this nation. In the United States, our president, my God, there has been like an unprecedented second impeachment of this president. The whole like mayhem that broke out at the Capitol. And I'm thinking about it probably too frequently, both as an attorney, as a believer, and then even as a parent and a professor. I'm thinking about, what does all of this mean? What are the implications for us? And, you know, I just wanted to come on in and talk to you about it. So let's just go right into it. And I really wish I could have you here talking with me. So I want to think through how I can engage you in upcoming episodes, including you submitting questions and things to me, but perhaps we'll do one or two or maybe even three episodes where you can live communicate with me so I can hear what you're thinking and what your thoughts are on our topic of the day. So back to this whole, I can't even think of a good adjective that sums up all of what we are facing, all of what we're going through, except that it has been a buildup that was foreseeable. I think to me, that was the part, even now, because I'm like a news watcher. I grew up in a home where we were always watching the news. We were always paying attention to what was going on in the government, the politics, and all of that. Very political family in that sense, always very aware. And so I'm the same way. And so I'm paying attention. I try sometimes to not pay attention as much because it can really, you know, upset you. It can really make you feel like there is no hope, and to take your eyes off of the one who already knows the beginning from the end and who has it all under control, you know. But we're just human, and we see what's happening with our natural eyes, and we feel the impacts of that. Especially, you know, there's so many far-reaching impacts of what's been going on in this nation, both with this pandemic, the pandemic of hate and racism, a president who doesn't seem to care about the people. It's really reverberates with me on a daily basis. But the thing that was standing out to me was the fact that pundits and, you know, politicians act as if we didn't see this coming. But I think we did. You know, our leader and several other people who were encouraging and speaking the same language were fueling a fire with and adding explosives. And folks were standing around as if you add explosives to fire, we don't get an explosion. And, I, you know, sometimes I hate to say that I'm afraid, but I have this sense that what we saw the other day at the Capitol was only kind of like a precursor to what will be or what is coming. So naturally, as a believer, you know, I go there as a believer and I think I have a job, because when I foresee, you know, the nonsense, that I am called, and those of us who are intercessors, we are called to, first of all, acknowledge what we have done, where we have fallen short, and to keep short accounts with the Lord, to repent, to turn away as believers from what we've done wrong, and to pray. You know, that's what we're called to do. And I have to be reminded in moments where I'm feeling all of the things that we feel as a result of what's going on. Now, as an attorney, you know, I'm thinking about all of the constitutional implications. That was one of the things I even mentioned in a couple episodes before, that when I went to law school, constitutional law was kind of like my thing. That was the area I was very focused on, even studied abroad on that topic. And so what does it mean to have free speech, right? I heard on CNN or MSNBC, one of them channels, that the president's legal team is already preparing to use the First Amendment as a way to defend against this trial that is coming as a result of the impeachment. And so, you know, there is Supreme Court precedent that talks about whether or not you can, you know, say things that may cause lawless action, right? Some things that, you know, people may say as hate speech or what have you is protected. But if the person says what they're saying with the intention and knowledge that it's likely to cause lawless action, and then it also is, you know, foreseeable that that action would happen, then they probably are not protected under the First Amendment. I would venture to say that our president really can't find any sort of protections in the First Amendment. But I recognize as an attorney that attorney has to advocate, right? But we saw our commander in chief call people together and after having inflamed their emotions, after having told people that something was taken from them over and over and over again, and then telling them, you have to do something about it. And then said, go to where they are, to not see that as foreseeable. What we saw occur is just beyond me. So my heart is broken. Even the comparisons or attempt to compare it to, the Black Lives Matter, movement or riots or, protests or, you know, however we want to call them, I think is kind of like apples and oranges, right? It's not the same thing. And when I see folks who claim to be believers, who, like, even some of the folks who showed up at the Capitol, they had like signs about Jesus. And I just thought, what a disservice to the gospel, to this world, to act as if, you know, the God that I serve, the God that those of us who really believe serve, is in line with that kind of lawless behavior. He's not. And it also got me to thinking about, so we're talking about speech and we're talking about, you know, what's protected, what's not, but whether it's protected or not, I started thinking about the power in our words. We have way more power. Obviously, this man, this president, he has probably times 1,000 the power of with his words because of the platform that he currently has. However, all of us have power in our words. We have we have a choice to make with what we're saying. And, you know, what I thought about was how people are trying to urge the president now to say words, to use his words to bring healing, to kind of douse the flames. And, you know, he's made a few statements that have felt very inadequate, also incongruent with other statements that have been made. So it's hard to trust. It's hard to embrace. It's hard to see those words doing what folks want them to do. But I recognize that had he used his words differently before now, we probably would not have seen what we saw, and would not have the worries and anxieties about what could happen, what might happen on Sunday, what could happen, what might happen on Wednesday, when the inauguration happens, you know. And it took me to the word. I was thinking about the scripture. There's power. The power of life and death is in our tongue. And it took me to Proverbs 18, which was like, wait a second. I was just in Proverbs 18 in the last episode when we were talking about a friend. So I guess this is where God wants us right now. So I want to just read these couple of verses and let the word talk to us. So Proverbs chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, and then I'm going to read verse 21. So Verse 6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare or trap of his soul. And then verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So much there, right? With wisdom, we will choose to use our words in a way to bring healing, wholeness, to encourage, to bring faith and hope in otherwise desperate times. But the same tongue can use words to what we see right here, to divide, to inflame, to frustrate, to enrage. And it put a fire in my heart to decide even now, even over these circumstances, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to use my words. As I'm reflecting over this and as I'm talking about the circumstances as a mother with my children, what am I saying? What am I saying? Oh my God, I don't know what we're going to do. And we got to make sure that we have weapons and we're ready for war and all that. Or am I saying to them, we acknowledge the seriousness of what's going on, but we believe in one who has power, all power in his hands, who sits high and looks low, and who has seen all sorts of mayhem over the generations, countless generations, all the way back to creation. Our God, he knows. He is where we place our faith. And we don't lose heart. And we don't feel like there's no hope for us, because we place our hope in the one who is higher than us, in the rock, in the firm foundation. So though the world seems like it's just like, who even knows what's going on? Those of us who believe, we have a steadfast place. We have a steadfast place. And even in looking at it as an attorney and thinking like, well, are they going to be able to convict him? Is he going to be able to get off? Is he going to be able to pardon himself? And all of these legal considerations. But at the end of the day, regardless of whether he's held responsible in an earthly fashion, and if the law, I kind of look at him as the Teflon Don, and sometimes that's frustrating. But, I think of my ancestors who had to be mindful in the face of all sorts of hate, adversity, murderous behavior and action toward them, that we had a God who was gonna hold folks accountable whether we saw it or not. And, I know there's a generation of folks who feel like that's not enough, but we have to recognize that there is no power greater. What he has to offer in the way of retribution is bigger than anything we in our human hands or considerations or penal system can put together. And we have to trust him with that. And so I'm practicing using my words and giving power to hope, and giving power to faith and encouragement when I feel the weight of what in the world is going on. I have to, stop and encourage myself. And the last kind of thing that I was thinking about him as he's transitioning out. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but God knows. But this man will have a legacy. And what will it be? No matter who supports him or what have you, what legacy will he leave, or is he leaving? What will the book say? What will children of generations to come, what will they learn? And when I think about legacy, I think even our words are tied into that. And actually, legacy, that's a perfect segue into this next segment that I want to talk about, that is a favorite from last season, and it's called Die Right. Yeah.
pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Cause I'm ready to die.
So we gotta be ready to die. I know it sounds like, oh, I don't really want to talk about that. That's such a morbid thing to say. You know, kind of it's a play on words to die, right? But it's really the truth, right? In everything that we're doing. So obviously, let me stop. Hold up. This is being brought to you by Bettner Gray Law Office, which is my law firm, where one of the things that I specialize in is estate planning. You can check us out on the website, www.bettnergraylaw.com. Of course, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. And I would love for you to support me, whether you're in the state of New Jersey or anywhere else, just by going to my social media pages, following and liking and sharing my posts and letting folks know the importance of preparing to die right. And yes, we leave an inheritance with the words that we speak over ourselves, over our children, over generations to come, over our future and our plans, and also by literally making a plan. What is it that you want to leave behind? What is the legacy that you want to be here when you've gone on? And there's so many ways to do that. And I just want to encourage you to think about, you know, what have you put in place? Do you have a succession plan? You know, some of us, me in particular, but others who pay attention to me, own businesses or desire entrepreneurship or trying to build six and seven figure earners who have the money all of a sudden are able to buy the homes and buy the things, but haven't thought about what they can do to make sure that everything that they've worked hard for and built up doesn't die with them or burn down in flames like someone that we know who we will hopefully be seeing going on his way in a couple of days. We want to make sure that we really are purposeful about our, you know, our plan for our life, our succession plan, our estate plan, all of that. I know people hear the term and may think like, what does that mean? I need a will or what have you. And it's greater than that. It's even, I'm working on a book right now and it was inspired by my children and making sure that I leave something tangible for them to prepare them for whatever they're going into. Sometimes we take for granted all that we know and all that we've worked toward, and we just take it with us and we don't leave anything worthwhile behind. So I want you to think about that in your words, in your action. And if there's anything I can do or my firm can do to help you build your plan, build your legacy, and leave something worthwhile behind, reach out to me. You can email me. You can connect with me, like I said, on Facebook, website, all that sort of thing. I'd be really happy to just talk with you and, you know, kind of help you think through what you need. And really, I think that's all I want to talk about. I just wanted to offer a little bit of encouragement to you. I know we're going through a lot. It's really, really frustrating, but God has all power in his hands. And, you know, he's given us his word to guide and direct us and to help us to know that at the end, we win. Let's pray. God, you are so good and you're faithful and you have left us with instructions for life. God, you teach us that there is power in our words. There is power in what we say, and we can choose life or we can choose death, God. And so help us to choose the right way, God. Help us to use our words to build ourselves and our children and our loved ones and our community and even our nation. God, that is the prayer of my heart. We thank you for yet another episode of This Legal Light of Mine and how you meet us every time. We give you all the glory and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.